بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters and friends, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon every single one of you. In this video, I want to share with you 6 insights on how to respond to and understand success. This is a very important topic, brothers and sisters, because many of us are engaged in a project or projects or a program of work or some type of activity that wants to achieve a goal. And in essence, in a simplistic sense, success is the achievement of a particular goal. And we want to achieve goals in our personal life, in our public life, in our private lives. And specifically when it comes to da'wah, when it comes to activism, when it comes to sharing Islam, we have some lofty goals, or at least our goals must be lofty. For example, we may want to achieve thousands of people embracing Islam. We want to write many books. We want to build a mosque. We want to build a popular YouTube channel. We want to manage and maintain and sustain and grow an organization, an activist organization, a da'wah organization, a humanitarian organization. So from this context or from this perspective, we need to understand, how must we respond to achieving these goals when we achieve them, when we achieve success? How must we respond to success? How must we understand success from the perspective of a Muslim? Remember, a Muslim, someone who is in a state of submission, someone whose way of being can be described as a person who is surrendering themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to God Almighty. So it's very important for us to ask that question as a Muslim. How do I respond to success? How must I understand success? And there are 6 insights that I want to share. But before I get into that, I want to discuss with you, well, what is true success? Or what is ultimate success from an Islamic perspective? Well, let's go to the Quran. Allah says in the 3rd chapter, in the 185th verse, every soul will taste death and you will be paid in full only on the day of resurrection. Whoever is kept away from the fire and admitted to the garden will have triumphed. So the greatest triumph or the ultimate success is entering Jannah, entering the garden, entering eternal bliss, being enveloped in the boundless mercy and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest success. Also, Allah says in the Quran in chapter 23, verse 102, those whose good deeds weigh heavy will be successful. So our good deeds, our actions must weigh heavy in order for us to have true success. And true success is entering the garden, Allah being pleased with us, that we're enveloped in the boundless mercy and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we exist for eternity in paradise in a state of constant bliss. This is true success. And Allah is saying our deeds have to weigh heavy. This is a very interesting concept. It's not how many deeds you have, it's how heavy they are. And we have discussed on this channel the concept of ikhlas, the concept of sincerity. In order for our deeds to weigh heavy, we must have ikhlas. We must have done those deeds, those acts of worship for Allah alone. We do those deeds because we love Allah. He is worthy of those deeds, that we want His divine reward and we want to protect ourselves from divine punishment. Doing it for all of these 3 reasons is a kind of optimal ikhlas, it's an optimal sincerity. So for us to be successful, our deeds must weigh heavy. And for them to weigh heavy, we must have ikhlas. And we shouldn't conflate material growth or material success with this true concept of success. Don't get me wrong, Islam promotes the idea that we should take a share of the world, a share of the dunya. We should have material success, of course, but we should use it that's in line with the pleasure of Allah. And the point I want to raise here is don't conflate material success with true success. Material success would only be correlated to or cause true success if we're using material success for the sake of Allah in a way that is in line with His pleasure. Wealth can lead to this true understanding of success if we use and acquire this wealth, we acquire this wealth and we use this wealth in line with the pleasure of Allah. in line with obedience to Allah. But if we don't, then it can lead to our destruction, to be unsuccessful in the hereafter. Now, brothers and sisters, I can share with you 6 insights on how to respond to and understand success. And let me summarize them very quickly. Insight number 1, success is from Allah alone. Therefore, be grateful, praise Allah, and be humble. Insight number 2, success is an undeserved gift. Be grateful and praise Allah. Insight number 3, success should not create self-amazement, ujub, one of the key core spiritual diseases of the heart. Insight number 4, success should lead to praising, glorifying, repenting, and turning back to Allah. Insight number 5, success was due to other means that Allah also created that you were dependent on, and all of those means, including yourself, are ultimately dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, be humble and grateful. Insight number 6, learn to ask, what could have I done better? Or what did I not do, spiritually or otherwise, that prevented or could have facilitated greater success? Don't just tap yourself on the back. Be humble. Ask yourself the question, what could have I done more that was more pleasing to Allah in order for me to achieve greater results? What did I not do, or what did I do that maybe created a barrier to success? So these are the 6 insights. I'm going to unpack them for you, inshallah. Insight number 1, success is from Allah alone, not you, not me. Be grateful, be humble, and praise Allah. The first thing to understand is to affirm that everything that happens in this universe, everything that happens in this universe is as a result of the irada and qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the will and power of Allah, including our perceived successes. So we need to understand that ultimately behind everything that we do, including the successes, is from Allah. So we need to be like Shuaib alayhi salam. In chapter 11, verse 88, what does Shuaib alayhi salam say? He says, my success comes only through Allah. In Him I trust, and to Him I return. Also, Allah tells us in the 8th chapter, verse 17, nor was it you who threw a handful of sand at the disbelievers, but it was Allah who did so, rendering the believers a great favor. Surely Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Now what does this really mean? Ibn Kathir summarizes it for us, and he basically says, it is not because of our strength, or in the context of the verse, their strength, or their power, that they overcame the pagans, even though that they were few in number, but rather it was Allah who gave them victory. Allah is the source of success. Now we have to remember, brothers and sisters, Allah is As-Samad. He is the independent, the absolutely independent. Everything depends on Him. Allah is Al-Ghani. He is the absolutely free. So from this perspective, we need to understand that we are utterly dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are needy. We need Allah. Allah is free. Allah is independent. He's absolutely independent. He is absolutely free. We are in need of Him, and we are utterly and ultimately and fundamentally dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we have successes in our life, in our private life, our public life, our professional lives, we need to understand that these successes are as a result of Allah. Because the means that we used, or the means that we acquired in order to achieve any type of success, were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not focus on the means, focus on the one who created the means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of our success. And also, brothers and sisters, we must be grateful. Because if we know our successes are utterly and ultimately dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our successes is because of Him, then we should be grateful to Him. Also, we should be humble, because it's not because of us, it's not because of our intrinsic ability or even intrinsic value. It was because of Allah. not because of me. And this is very important for us to understand. So you should create a sense of gratitude, and it should create a sense of humility. Also, brothers and sisters, we must praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because if we can praise ourselves or praise other people for our achievements or their achievements and success, then what about Allah, who was ultimately responsible for the things that we think we deserve praise for? Allah is ultimately responsible for our successes and our achievements. So we should praise Him. He is worthy of extensive praise, because these successes and achievements could have only happened through Allah and because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He is worthy of an extensive praise. Insight number two, success is an undeserved gift. That's why we must be grateful to Allah and we must praise Allah. As a general principle, we must always be grateful. Reflect on chapter 31, verse 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And we had certainly given Luqman wisdom and said, be grateful to Allah. And whoever is grateful for the benefit of himself. And whoever denies his favor, then indeed Allah is free of need and praiseworthy." Brothers and sisters, we should always be grateful. Always be grateful. I want you to think about this. There is something in your life that you receive at every moment of your existence, and you don't deserve it, you don't own it, and you don't earn it. This thing is every conscious moment of your existence. We don't earn these moments, we don't own them, we can't even create a fly. We don't deserve this gift of life. That's why in popular culture we call it the gift of life. Every conscious moment is something that we receive freely, yet we don't earn, own, or deserve it. And not only is it free, but it's priceless. It's a priceless gift. Think about it. If I said you had 10 minutes left to live, and in order to get another 10 days, you have to give me all of your wealth, you will give me all of your wealth and more. And this teaches us that every conscious moment, every second is a priceless gift, and we don't earn, own, or deserve this gift. So if it's true that we receive at every moment of our existence a priceless gift that we don't earn, own, or deserve, then how should it make us feel? It should make us feel grateful. Grateful to whom? To the one who gave us these moments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our utmost gratitude should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters. And this is about our conscious moments, every moment of our existence. I'm not talking about how we've lived these moments. So we should be ultimately grateful for just being alive. So what about being alive and having achievements and successes? We should be even more grateful. And that's why it's so important to frame it this way, because when you have achievements and successes, it should increase in your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should praise Allah. Why? As we mentioned previously, you should praise Allah because He is worthy of that praise by virtue of His names and attributes, because of who He is. And our successes in our lives, our achievements in our lives, are a manifestation, are an expression of who Allah is. In other words, His names and attributes. And when we have successes and we have achievements, we should praise Allah because this was as a result of Allah's names and attributes and not me. Because ultimately success and achievements are from Allah alone. So when we have achievements in our lives, we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, reflect on this verse as well. The 14th chapter of the Quran, the 34th verse, Allah says, "And if you should count the favor of Allah, the blessings of Allah, you could not enumerate them. Indeed, mankind is generally most unjust and ungrateful." What a beautiful verse. Allah is telling us we cannot be truly grateful or count the blessings He has given us, the favors, and achievements and successes are included in that. We can never be truly grateful for them. So this is why when we have successes and achievements, we should be even more grateful, because we can never be truly grateful for them. We could never even enumerate them. And let me give you an example, a fundamental example. Consider your heartbeat. Your heartbeat, brothers and sisters. We already spoke about the priceless nature of life. And if, for example, I said you have 1,000 heartbeats left, but in order to get another 1,000,000 heartbeats, you have to give me all of your wealth, you would give me all of your wealth. Such is the priceless nature of each heartbeat, because it's one of the causes that Allah uses to keep us alive. So it's a priceless gift. Every heartbeat is a priceless gift. Now, can we enumerate individually all the heartbeats we've had in our lifetime? It's actually practically impossible. For the first 2 or 3 years, you can't count. When you're sleeping, you can't count. So it's practically impossible to enumerate one blessing. Now let's frame it slightly differently. Try and be thankful for each individual heartbeat you've had in a lifetime. Say, Alhamdulillah. Say, all perfect praise and gratitude belong to Allah. Say every time you had a heartbeat. Again, it's practically impossible. For the first 2 or 3 years, you can't speak. When you're sleeping, you can't thank Allah. So practically, it's impossible to even be grateful, truly, for each individual priceless heartbeat. So anything above a heartbeat is really a bonus, which includes our successes and achievements. And that's why our successes and achievements, we must be infinitely and eternally grateful. This is why, brothers and sisters, we have to understand successes are undeserved gift. If every conscious moment is an undeserved gift, a priceless gift, if our heartbeats are undeserved gifts, and we can't even enumerate them, and we can't even be individually grateful for each heartbeat we've had, then what about anything after that, such as successes and achievements in our lives? These are bonuses. These are things that we must be eternally and intensely grateful to Allah for. Insight number 3, brothers and sisters, success should not create ujub, self-amazement. Now, ujub is one of the key spiritual diseases of the heart. And as you know, brothers and sisters, we have to focus on the heart, because this is important for our true success, success in the akhirah, in the hereafter. As you know, Allah says in the Quran that no one's going to be safe on the Day of Judgment unless we come to Allah with qalbin salim, with a sound heart. And this is very important for us to focus on, brothers and sisters. Our state of heart. And think about it. The qalb does taqallub. It wavers. The word qalb comes from the word qalaba, which means to waver, to turn over. And the heart needs to be firm on iman, focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to be in a sound state. And a sound heart is a heart that is free of the spiritual diseases. And one of the key spiritual diseases include ujub. Now there are 4 main key spiritual diseases according to many ulama. That is kibr, arrogance; hasad, blameworthy jealousy; riya, ostentation; and ujub, self-amazement or vanity. And the ulama say that the other spiritual diseases of the heart emanate from these core spiritual diseases. So it's of extreme importance for us to focus on the heart and to ensure we don't have ujub, a key spiritual disease of the heart, because our heart has to be sound. We must have qalbin salim. We must have a sound heart, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, we're not going to be safe on the Day of Judgment. And what success can do sometimes, what achievements can do sometimes, is evoke within us this spiritual disease of ujub. That it was because of me, the success, the achievement was because of me alone. I was the cause. I wasn't the means. That's what we think. I was the cause. I wasn't the means. But no, Allah was the cause of your success. Allah was the cause of your achievements. We were just the means. So if we realize we were just the means that Allah used to manifest His names and attributes, then we should focus back on Allah and we should be grateful and humble and praise Him. We shouldn't just say it was because of me. I have some kind of intrinsic value. I was the cause of these achievements and success. And this is very important for us to understand, brothers and sisters. Now there's a beautiful story in the Quran in chapter 18, which is the story of the people of the two gardens. And it starts from around verse 32. And I'm going to read it to you and we'll explain it and how it connects to this understanding of ujub. Give them, O Prophet, an example of two men. To the disbelieving one, we gave two gardens of grapevines, which we surrounded with palm trees and placed various crops in between. Each garden yielded all its produce, never falling short. And we caused a river to flow between them. And he had other resources as well. So he boasted to a poor companion of his while conversing with him, "I am greater than you in wealth and superior in manpower." And he entered his property while wronging his soul, saying, "I do not think this will ever perish, nor do I think the hour will ever come. And if in fact I am returned to my Lord, I will definitely get a far better outcome than all this." His believing companion replied while conversing with him, "Do you disbelieve in the one who created you from dust, then developed you from a sperm drop, then formed you into a man? But as for me, he is Allah, my Lord, and I will never associate anyone with my Lord in worship. If only you had said when entering your property, 'This is what Allah has willed.' There is no power except with Allah. Even though you see me inferior to you in wealth and offspring, perhaps my Lord would grant me something better than your garden and send down upon your garden a thunderbolt from the sky, turning it into barren waste, or its water may sink into the earth, and then you will never be able to seek it out." So all his produce was totally ruined. So he started to wring his hands for all he had spent on it while it had collapsed on its trellises. He cried, "Alas, I wish I had never associated anyone with my Lord in worship." And he had no manpower to help him against Allah, nor could he even help himself. Allahu Akbar. The ulama say this was the shirk, this was the associationism, associating partners with Allah, of focusing on the means, not the creator of the means. Now this might not be directly related to ujub, but it's similar in some way. It teaches us that we need to be very careful not to focus on the means and think the means is the cause, but to focus on the true cause of the means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the context of our achievements and successes, don't be like the man with the two gardens, thinking it's never going to end, giving himself some kind of intrinsic ability that it was because of him. But rather, it's because of Allah. Don't focus on the means. And don't think the means are actually the cause. Focus on the creator of the means, the creator of the success that you have, the creator of the achievements that you have. And when you do that, it should increase in your humility. You should praise Allah and you should be humbled before Him. So this is how we must respond to successes, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, we may have the spiritual disease, the key spiritual disease of ujub. And may Allah protect every single one of us. Insight number 4. Praise Allah. Glorify Allah. Repent to Him and turn back to Him. A beautiful chapter in the Quran is the 110th chapter. Allah says, "When the victory of Allah has come and the conquest, and you see the people entering into the religion of Allah in multitude, then exalt Him with praise of your Lord and ask forgiveness of Him. Indeed, He is ever accepting of repentance." What do we learn from this? One of the greatest successes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the conquest of Mecca. And how did he enter Mecca? The peaceful conquest of Mecca. How did he enter? He entered with his head bowed down, with humility. With humility, he was humble to Allah and grateful to Allah for this conquest, this peaceful conquest and this peaceful victory. That Islam had been dominant and successful now, had become dominant and successful. And he was so humble where his head was almost touching the saddle of his riding beast. Or it was touching the saddle of his riding beast. This is how you respond to success and achievements. By being humble to Allah. By being grateful to Allah. By praising Allah. By repenting to Allah. So we learn how to respond to successes and achievements from this chapter. Allah is telling us what we need to do. Because think about it. If Allah is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should respond to successes in this way, then by greater reason, we should respond to success in a similar fashion.
So Allah says, then exalt him with praise of your Lord. In other words, glorify Allah and praise Allah. Then Allah says, and ask forgiveness of him. So we must do istighfar, we must turn back to Allah. And we must return to him, do tawbah. So this is what we must do when we have successes, brothers and sisters. Glorify Allah, praise Allah, ask his forgiveness and turn back to him. This is exactly what believers should do when we have successes and achievements. Insight number 5, brothers and sisters. Our success, our achievements do not exist in a vacuum. It wasn't just because of us. In reality, we had to use something outside of ourselves, some things outside of ourselves, other people, an organization, someone else's money, other people's help, or we had to go to school, we had to get educated, we had to have support from our family. Whatever the case may be, we don't exist in a vacuum. We had to rely on other means other than ourselves, other than our own resources, in order for us to achieve success and have these achievements. And these means were created by Allah. And these means, including yourself, are utterly and fundamentally dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should create a sense of humility and a sense of gratitude, brothers and sisters and friends. And there's a very powerful and scary verse that we have to take seriously. We have to be wary of this. In chapter 3, verse 188, Allah says in the Quran, "Do not think that those who exult in what they have done and seek praise for things they have not done will escape the torment. Agonizing torment awaits them." SubhanAllah. Now this refers to people who show off, who rejoice in what they do and claim to do what they have not done. So how does this relate to the insight that we're talking about here? Well, sometimes we rejoice and we give ourselves praise for these successes and achievements, and we give ourselves too much value in that from the point of view that think it was because of us alone. We forget we had to rely on other means, and those means, including ourselves, are utterly dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, and to emphasize, you did not control these means. You required other means, and those means you didn't have any direct control over. And you needed them in order for you to achieve this, in order for you to be successful. And those means, including yourself, are fundamentally and utterly dependent on Allah. Don't exalt yourself. You needed other means, you needed things outside of yourself, and many of those means you can't even control. So don't give yourself too much praise. And all those means were created by Allah. And Allah is the cause of these achievements and this success, not you. Don't exalt yourself, as Allah says in the Quran, for what you think you've done. It's because of Allah. And don't exalt yourself for things that you have not done. Now you may think, but it was me, I was responsible, I was leading the organization. No. Yes, you were leading the organization, you made good decisions. But the resources that you have, the ones that you can't even control, and even the ones that you can control, they have certain abilities and values and qualities. Hardworking, dedicated, skilled. You didn't do that work yourself, they did it. You had to rely on them. They were the means. So don't take credit for that. They were part of that. They were the means. And Allah created those means and created you. And Allah was the cause of all of this success and achievement anyway. Don't exalt yourself for things that you have done and things that you have not done. So therefore we must be humble and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, brothers and sisters, success and achievements, whether it's in dawah, sharing Islam, activism, community work, or our private, personal, social, professional life, is a blessing. It's an undeserved gift, as we mentioned. And it's an honor. It's not a right or something that we ultimately deserve. The final insight, brothers and sisters, we need to ask a very fundamental question. We need to learn to ask
a fundamental question. What could have I done better? Or what did I not do, spiritually or otherwise, that prevented or could have facilitated greater success? This is such an important question to ask, my dear brothers and sisters. It's so important because it's in line with ihsan, with excellence. It's in line with someone who is seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is so important because sometimes we over-glorify ourselves, or we exalt ourselves, or we praise ourselves, and we're like, wow, look at my achievements, this is amazing. So we should ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, what did I not do that prevented greater success? Or what did I do that prevented greater success? What could have I done more in order to achieve greater success? What of the sunnah did I not follow? The way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What characteristics have I improved on or internalized and actualized in order to have greater success? What principles of the deen did I not fully implement? So these are the type of questions we should be asking, because it's in line with humility, it's in line with gratitude, and it's in line with turning back to Allah and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please, brothers and sisters, learn to ask, what could have I done better? Or what did I not do spiritually or otherwise, and otherwise, that prevented or could have facilitated greater success? This question is hardly asked, my dear brothers and sisters. And this is not in line with gratitude, humility, and turning back to Allah, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, on a final point, brothers and sisters, one would ask, what about self-esteem, Hamza? You say that we're just the means, this is an undeserved gift, success is an undeserved gift, iman is an undeserved gift, life is an undeserved gift, your achievements are undeserved, and so on and so forth, no matter how much hard work we do, and so on and so forth. What about self-esteem? Well, this is how I would respond. What greater honor is there that Allah chose you to be the means for this success or achievement? Him choosing you, Allah choosing you, is enough. It's like when Allah says in Surah Fusilat, chapter 41, verse 33, and who is better in speech? Allah is not asking a question. It's like a rhetorical question. He's making an emphasis here linguistically that the one who is better in speech is the one who calls to Allah, does righteousness, and says, indeed, I am one of the Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that you're chosen to share Islam, and you do righteousness, and you submit to Allah, and you say you're just one of the Muslims, and you link your righteousness to your submission to Allah, then you're the best in speech. You're one of the best people. And any success you do in the da'wah, and even doing da'wah itself, which is a success in itself, just doing it, that is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And saying it's because of Allah should not diminish your self-esteem. Because remember, Allah has defined you. The one who is worthy of all praise is praising you if you're engaged in this work. And He has honored you by choosing you to be one of the means for this type of success. So this should never affect your self-esteem if you frame it in the right way. So to repeat, what greater honor can there be than Allah choosing you to be the means for this success and achievement? Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless every single one of you. These were the 6 insights on how to respond to and address success. I pray you have benefited, and I pray to Allah that I actually learn from this as well, and I actualize and internalize this in my life. May Allah bless every single one of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.